Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started. Lots of good memories in those woods. I say lots. There's some. The times that I went in those woods are good memories. Like several times, me and my boy, Zach, when he was probably six, we'd be in there. Remember one time we treed some coons pretty quick, right there close to the highway. I shined up in there. It was like four sets of eyes.
Oh, wow.
It was a mama and her little ones. I mean, we left them there. But me and Barry Carter, David Goodnight, we'd go in there coon hunting sometimes, build a fire, sit around, drink coffee, preach to one another, listen to the dogs. Good times.
Oh, yeah. I still like to hear dog trail and tree.
Yeah. I saw chase on Facebook here a while back, old Michael Carter, he's got a couple.
Yeah, he posts some stuff on one. Yeah. I think about those dogs trailing through the woods and watching them.
Yeah.
As they're trying to sniff out whatever it is, if it's you squirrel hunting or coon hunting, and how they're zigzagging and going back and forth, and then the distinctive bark they have when they hit a trail.
Oh yeah.
And then the progression to where they tree.
Yeah.
How their bark changes.
Uh huh. You want me to tell you a story? It seems like I had a dog. Her name was Susie. She was a tree and walker.
Yeah.
One eyed. I think her first owner had beat her and messed her eye up.
Yeah.
But I had her. She was fine. I mean, she was good. But the way she would do it, she would trail. It's like, oh. Sniff around a little while, you know, and you can tell she's moving. But when she gets ready to tree, she's going to circle that tree.
Uh-huh.
And in the process of circling that tree, it'd be like, oh.
She'd get a little longer.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then she'd be like, oh. Oh. Kind of longer.
Yeah, get longer.
And I would always amaze people when she would do that. I say, "Hi, now she's fixing the tree."
Oh yeah,
and she'd be like,
and then she'd get out. She's tree, boys.
I timed her one time. It was 120 barks a minute.
Oh, that's fast. I don't think you were doing 120.
No, I wasn't. She was hammering them.
That was up on that tree too.
Oh yeah, she was probably the best coon dog I had.
Yeah.
Well, let me say it this way. The more I come into understanding grace and the gospel, this gospel that what Adam messed up, Jesus fixed up.
Mm-hmm.
As in Adam, even so, more in Christ.
Much more.
Yeah. As I'm coming into this, I've listened to some people that I listen to usually. Man, I just can't stomach that old crap. It's like want to clean my boots off or something, you know, when we when I listen.
You done stepped in something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that simple statement. God didn't send his son to condemn the world. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Okay? But you sit in the average church today and you'll hear a message of condemnation.
Oh, yeah. You ain't right.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute. Has nobody noticed that we are in practice doing the exact opposite of Jesus?
Yeah.
And patting ourselves on the back that we're doing better because we're in the in crowd. Yeah. And it's just love, James, because we want everybody in the in crowd.
Yeah.
You know, from our exclusive Adamic mindset, we cannot think about God correctly.
No.
Hence why Jesus had to come.
Yeah.
Okay. We couldn't save ourselves. We could never figure God out correctly. Mm-hmm. We couldn't see his plan hid from the ages.
That's right.
Okay. But Jesus coming, he gives us this different picture that God is a good father who loves us as his beloved children. And I'll just let that fact sit there.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh no, God's a judge. He's holy. He judges sin. I'm doing my best to stay in, and these people over here that I don't like, they're on the outs, and they should be punished, and I can't wait for the day that they get their due.
Uh-huh.
You know, I get my reward, they get their whatever punishment is.
What's coming?
Because deep in a person is this sense of justice. Part of our Adamic mindset.
Yeah.
To think through a lens of fairness and justice.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really that tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yep.
Of what's right, wrong, good, evil.
Yeah, both lead to death.
Let's divide that out and make our judgment.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Of what's right and wrong. And then if it's wrong, it's condemned. And it's punished or dealt with in some way. And all the world runs on that system. Every country in the world has a legal system. There's something that it's just hardwired into us that, and we think that's how it ought to be. And it's from our fallenness that we want to say, well, God must be like me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I understand justice, so that must be how God understands justice. And we make God in our image when we do that.
Yeah.
Because we don't realize from the get-go, no, we're made in his image.
Just like Adam.
Not him did. Made in ours. Yeah, just like Adam did.
When he chose to live independently of God and believe a lie.
Yep.
He painted the face of God through the brush of his own blindness or darkness and began to see God not as he truly was, but as he felt that he was or he thought that he was.
Well, he fell into the sensory realm and he began to be ruled by his fear, his guilt, his shame. As he was he was just dominated by what he was not. He bought that lie that he was less than what he was, and it just went downhill from there. And somewhere in that downhill slide, we want to make a camp and say, no, this is all good. This is how it is. And religion comes along and says, this is how it is. You got to do these things and God will bless you. And if you don't do these things, God will curse you. And, you know.
When all the while he says, I reign on the just and the unjust.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But we just disregard that.
Yeah, that ain't got nothing to do with this.
Yeah. I mean, just because Jesus said that, he surely didn't mean that.
Neither do I condemn thee.
Yeah. Well, what was that? There was another place. I think it's Luke. I won't say 18, but that's probably not right either, James. But about he talked about the Tower of Siloam fell, and everybody's reaction out of that was, well, they must have been a bunch of sinners over there for that to happen to them.
Yeah.
And he's like, or you're worse than them or something. I forget how he phrased all that. Yeah. And then he said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish.
Yeah. Another word, repent and perish.
Yeah, repent and perish. Another word that has to get clarified and thought through differently. We're talking about this subject of judgment and how that we have an understanding of it from our human mind, and we want to project that onto God and say, God's like me. But then when we look at the revelation of God through Jesus and what he had to say about judgment, things begin to change. Now, if I can attempt to maybe summarize some thoughts on that, is that the Father and the Son are in agreement together about judgment.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. that was a little simple statement, but it's really very powerful.
Yeah.
Because where I come from, there was a separation.
Yeah.
That the Father was judging the Son.
Yep.
And that's not true.
There was an arrow of judgment. Jesus jumped in front of it before it hit you.
Yeah. That
before it pierced your heart and killed you and condemned you to hell.
Yes.
Jesus jumped in front of it.
And then the other, there's that. And then, so they're in agreement about judgment. And then there's the statement that all judgment took place at the cross.
Yep.
Okay.
That's what Jesus said.
Well, I know. I hate to quote him.
Where did he say that?
It's in John 12. yeah. Okay. So all judgment was at the cross. And then what you find is that it was at the cross that God in his love and wisdom pronounced his judgment about what was happening. He was pronouncing his judgment and saying that all in Adam is dying in Jesus.
That's right.
And at the resurrection, all in Christ are being made alive.
Yes. That's what Paul's gospel says. That's what Paul said.
Well, I know.
If one died, then all died.
That's exactly right. That's 2 Corinthians 5. But what a different way of thinking about what is happening.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because it is good news. There's no bad news in the good news. At the cross, God pronounced that everything wrong and broken is dealt with and is gone.
Yeah.
And it's removed.
Yeah.
Sin and the law that was against us.
We might need to read that out of Colossians, I think, isn't it, where he talks about his nailing all that to the cross?
He nailed it to the cross. He took it out of the way. Everything, let's see, how about this one, James? Everything from our Old Testament perspective that made us want to climb up in a judgment seat and divide people up into two groups and pronounce judgment on people that didn't fit our criteria, whether our criteria was the law of Moses or not, whatever our criteria law is, he's like, all right, I'm going to take your law, the consequences of it, and all of what you think's a violation of it, and I'm going to suck it into myself, and I'm going to drink it to the dregs of the cup.
Yeah.
And just want you to know that while I'm doing it, I love you, and you're forgiven.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did he say? The dividing walls of Jew and Gentile.
Some broken down, dismantled.
Have come down because he killed it at the cross and has raised, we're raised to, there's one new man.
Yeah, there's one new man. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
I don't care, racial divide. It's gone. Any divide.
Every division of humanity, there's one father, one family. Yeah.
We should read
one race.
We should read those passages out of Colossians. And I think that one is in Ephesians. I'd read them, but I'm trying to drive.
Well, I'm just watching where you're going. So
we read those passages. That's just.
Yeah. I know that's what you like to do is. Is read long, lengthy passages of scripture.
Just a couple of verses in both of them.
Yeah, like I could find them.
Colossians, is it? It might be chapter 2.
Yeah.
Where he talks about nailing that to the cross, the law, and all that was against us, all our sickness and all that stuff. I'm not sure exactly. What I was mentioning there, but I know it's the law.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure. I'm trying to find a starting spot.
Oh, you done found it?
I'm gonna be like you. I'm gonna read the Bible to you,
James. That's good. Come on. I like the Bible.
For we have been buried with him into his death.
What does that mean?
Yeah, it means what it says. Yeah. And then he says, our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. Okay. All right. Which that's the whole thing. Christ came, united with us, and died our death, and we died with him. Yep. He rose again. He brought us alive with him. And he did it for every man.
Yes.
That's the thing. We want to divide people and judge them where they're at.
Yeah.
And God came along and said, no, I've judged you all.
This is the judgment. This is the judgment.
Yeah, this is the judgment. But we were rabbit chasing today, Romans 11:32.
No, we're not.
He shut us all up.
In disobedience
that he might have mercy on all. Okay, so he grabs all judgment at the cross for all people of all time, for all things, and all enemies, all obstacles, all ifs, ands, or buts, they're there. He said, this realm of death describes our former state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so see, we're not there anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's a former state.
Mm.
Now, we still act like it's our current state.
Yeah.
Because we're still getting our minds renewed around the good news.
Yep. Let me say this before you go on.
That's all right.
It was decisive and it was done.
Yeah.
The former state was in what? It was in Adam.
Right. And it
Jesus
is no longer.
Jesus took that state and killed it and created a new state, being raised together alive in him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality. But we come along because of the way that we've been thinking and the lies that we've been believing. We're still living in the old state.
That's right.
That's dead and gone.
Yes.
How do you get in on it? Believe it.
Right. Right.
It's true.
Yes.
But we're believing it doesn't make it true. It's already true.
That's right. That's right. We act like we're still under the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Old covenant of some law work system.
Yeah, we're fixing to get some preach on here.
For we were held in sin's grasp. Okay. Now there's no more consciousness of sin. But you can't go to church and somebody not talk about it.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
That's right.
I'm not saying we don't sin.
It's not our identity.
It's not my identity. And it is no longer an issue God's dealt with it. Anyway, that's another rabbit.
Yeah. Well, it's the same one. He didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it.
Yeah, he's saving us from that. And when I sin, it just proof I more I need to be saved from. But he's doing it.
Yeah.
even if I am fighting him along the way. He's already done it. All right. But he says, but now, can somebody say, but now?
But now.
We've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return. We are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins.
Yep. Forever alive.
Yeah.
We were dead.
Yes.
But we've been raised.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. If I'm dead, how am I going to believe something?
Yeah.
It was in the fact that I was dead. There's another term we need to understand.
Right.
But that death, Jesus conquered death.
Yes.
On my behalf. He didn't do it for himself.
Hey, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, he came to us who were in the realm of the dead.
Yeah. And now we are raised.
Yeah, forever. We are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins.
Forgiven.
Of all our sins. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's our state.
That's another term.
I know.
Love does not keep a record of wrong.
It does.
What's he got to forgive if he ain't keeping a record?
That's where I was going a while ago. He pronounced his judgment at the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do.
Yeah. Oh, right. That verse right there has liberated me.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been feasting on that verse for 2 years.
All right, there he is. All right, because he makes that statement as they're nailing him to the cross.
Yeah.
He's pronouncing forgiveness, and they are unrepentant.
Yeah, spitting in his face.
They are malicious,
cursing,
violent.
Mocking him.
Yes.
Stealing his clothes, gambling on him.
Yeah, the whole thing was a setup. To expose the depravity of man, because it exposed the corruption of greed, injustice, power mongering, violence, religion, every bit of it. The way the story is told, the way it played out. It was like he set it all up. When he came out of that tomb and that domino fell, boy, it just knocked them all down.
Yeah.
I mean, it was it, which is what he said. Okay, verse 14. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us.
The law.
Yeah, which, I think that's where it comes in. It's like, we ain't saying we ain't sinned. We're not saying we haven't broken the law. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying that what Jesus did dealt with it.
That's right.
All right. Both our behavior or violation, its consequences, and the written law itself.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he says he erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all. And they cannot be retrieved.
Hmm.
Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation.
There he says it right there.
That's pretty straightforward.
Everything we once were in Adam.
Yeah.
Now, I like the way Don Keithley says it. I think it was him. Nothing of Adam survived the cross.
Exactly.
What's that mean?
Nothing of Adam survived the cross. But we were so dominated that it did.
But positively, what does that mean?
Positively.
That new life that come out of
that all
room.
That did. Yeah, well, that's
Jesus.
That's in Corinthians 5, again, where he talks about old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God.
Yep.
All that came out of that tomb was of God.
Yeah.
And that's all there is of you is what Christ came out of the tomb with
has
given to you. Now, do you still have some mindset, behaviors, and things left over from Adam in your life? Yes. I don't know a better way to say it.
We were taught it.
Well, yeah, no wonder we don't have it left, because nobody told us we was anything but that. Okay, you just old sorry sinner. You just ought to be grateful God saved you. That just got hammered into you. Just a sinner saved by grace, saved a wretch like me.
And that Corinthians passage growing up, it was always, but you got to do something to get in on this.
Well, that was the other conditionality. of, I'm not saying that faith and believing and repenting doesn't play a role in your experience of the good news, because it does.
Right.
Because you can't experience what you can't, you don't believe, for the most part. I mean, there's some exception to that. But yeah, that's the whole thing. Is, and we want to make that the conditionality when we divided people into the two groups.
Mm-hmm.
Some, we came out of the camp that, you know, you're saved by grace through faith. So faith became the condition that got you into one.
That's right.
And then we fought against those that said, well, it was faith plus baptism plus enduring to the end plus keeping the law plus tithing plus going to church plus reading your Bible, sharing your faith. Well, and the list just kept, the list of laws just kept growing.
Yeah.
As we want to judge people and you know, and even the faith only crowd would say, well, those that didn't endure to the end, they never had faith to start with. They were just fakers.
That's right.
So they're going to get over here and they're going to get judged one of these days.
But I've learned to read that scripture in light of these other truths. It is by faith that we're saved, but it's the faith of Jesus.
Yes.
The faith that we have is a gift.
Right. Yeah.
And basically, we just see what Jesus did, and I mean, you believe it.
Yes. That's true. You just believe it.
But it's done. That's what we're saying. It's done.
It is
done. I hate this illustration, but it's the only thing I can come up with that's really good, because I don't like the idea of it. But if you paid my house off, I can't go down there to the bank and pay it off. It's paid off.
It's paid off. Now, when you, yes.
I can't, they can't come to
you
me.
You can't pay it twice.
Want me to pay for it, because it's paid off.
Yeah.
Remembered no more.
Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority, power to accuse of. By the power of the cross, Jesus led them prisoners in a procession of trial. He was not their prisoner, they were his.
Thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love He has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.